Thanks for tuning into your community radio station, KRBD Ketchikan. It is now 8:30. I'm Maria Dudzak, and I am joined in the studio by Agnes Moran and John Harrington, and they are here to give us an update on last night's Assembly School Board special meeting and work session. Good morning, and thanks for being here.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us.
And how often do meetings like this happen? Is this a normal event? It seemed like a big house last night with a lot of people in attendance.
Well, this is the second of the meetings that we have scheduled for this year on the budget, and I think that's all we have scheduled at this stage. And it was kind of a new thing this year.
It's happened before in the past, but this was unusual. It was a productive meeting.
And the budget was part of what is discussed. There were a lot of other items as well. First off, you did have, I guess, some public comment. What was the general feeling from the public?
Well, we had seven citizens address the Assembly and School Board. And one, Penny Peterson, requested that the Borough Assembly rethink their federal funding list, not submitting one this year, which we subsequently did do. And there was a vote 5-2 to actually take the hospital project back to Washington, D.C. with the legislative group when they go back there. And the other six individuals spoke supporting funding for school activities, music, and the arts programs.
And the budget at this point is still in the draft stages, the discussion stages. How are all of those discussions going?
Okay. The budget is, at this stage, is taking last year's budget, rolling it forward into this year with appropriate changes in salary and that sort of thing. That was the first step. Second step was to start prioritizing because based on the currently identifiable revenues and the current status of programs, we're going to have to make cuts. So we began to identify, or the administration started the process to identify what were the logical cuts to get an administrative proposal to the school board. That has been through a couple of refinements as we've talked about it at the board meetings. This will change right up until the time we finally approve it and send it to the Borough Assembly. There are several items that are still unknown. There may be additional revenues coming out of Juneau. We won't know that until very late in the budget process. There may well be some retirees from the top of our salary schedule, and when that happens, essentially, you could almost afford two teachers for the price of one, two new teachers for the price of one. Not quite, but it's a significant savings when we get retirees. And then there's the carryover funds. This has been believe it or not, a mild winter. And with the sunshine outside, we're not burning as much oil as we had planned, and the price of oil is cheaper than we had planned. So there will be some carryover funds there. Those dollars won't be known really until March sometime, what we can expect, at which point we will, of course, budget them for next year.
And we probably had that one week in there of icy cold weather that
scared the heck out of us, yes.
But it's not too bad now. And should specify, we are talking about the school district budget for 2013. This was a joint meeting of the Assembly and the School Board. Was there any discussion about the Assembly's, I imagine there would be, the Assembly's role in funding that budget? How did that portion of it go?
Well, there really wasn't a lot of discussion at this stage because it's primarily just kind of a fact-finding on the Assembly side, just kind of having the discussion such that they know some of the issues that we're faced with and we know some of the issues that they're faced with. And identifying, when you look at this, there also are, like Mr. Harrington mentioned, there's some potential other sources of revenue that are out there. For example, if the the increase in the basic student allowance goes up as it's proposed this year, $125. That's about $540,000 more into the district, or $516,000 into the district. The borough's been helping the business office of the school district identify federal impact aid. That would pull in another $120,000. If you look at their area adjustment, that increased from a 14 factor to a 17 factor this year. So there's a bump up of about $300,000 there. So it's not all bad news. There are some things that are coming in. So it's not just raise the mill rate or we step off the cliff. You know, there are other aspects out there that the assembly needs to understand, the school board needs to understand, and this was a meeting where everyone could sit down and kind of identify that and bring some of the folks up to speed, because not all of the assembly members are as up on the budget as other assembly members are. And I think the same is true for the school board, in that you only have so much bandwidth and not everybody can be an expert on everything.
This is also not the first time we've had a conversation on the budget. The Borough Assembly at the retreat listened to our presentation showing the problems that we get when we have the elimination of the Secure Rural Schools federal dollars. There is still some hope that that may be funded, but at this point we're operating under the assumption it won't be. And thankfully the Borough Assembly, at least at this point, has said they're seriously considering making up the difference of the loss of the Secure Rural Schools, which in effect is has about a mill worth of funding, although they will not be hopefully raising the taxes, but taking it out of the reserves. So there have been conversations before.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain this conversion of in-kind services to cash contributions? What is the need to do that, and what is the benefit of it? What does that mean?
Okay. The Borough Assembly gives the school district money right up front. But historically, there have been some things that the Borough Assembly has paid for or provided at no cost to the school district. Insurance, use of the fields, attorney time. We sent to the Department of Education this last year a summary of the budget with those in-kind contributions specified, which is required by law. And for some reason, the Department of Education and Early Development disallowed those. Now, there's no understanding of why.
And what does disallowing them mean?
They kicked them out. They did not. They were
acknowledge that they happened.
Were,
I want to interject here. And they did that 1 week after we got notice from them stating that yes, you have to include every in-kind contribution. So we did that.
But and the total contributions that the borough makes to the school district has a direct impact on how much money we get from the state for other services. I mean, we bill Medicare, Medicaid, whatever. Anyway, and we have to send half of that back to the state unless our local contributions exceed a certain amount, and then we get a larger portion. It's arcane stuff anyway, but it's important that we have on the record all of the expenses that the borough incurs for education. Well, before last year, what we did was we put them as a note on the budget. These are in-kind contributions. For some reason, as I said, the DEED did not allow them. Well, we looked at the way other districts have done this process, and we followed the Anchorage model, which is to say, we're going to charge you for these services, and then we're going to provide you the money to pay it. So it sort of is a clean washing our hands of the process where it's on the books, money is transferred, but no problem, there's no programmatic damage at the school district.
Okay, so it's a beneficial thing in that it's showing that the school district is getting more funds from the borough.
Yes. There is a little consternation on the board in that as you do that, the gap between what the borough provides and what the cap is narrows, so that the amount of money that the borough hypothetically could give to the school district becomes less. Well, as of right now, unless I'm reading my tea leaves altogether wrong, there's no way that the Borough Assembly is going to be funding us to the cap anyway. We'll ask for it. I mean, and we'll give them a good rationale why they should do that. But I would be surprised if we get anywhere close to the cap.
When you talk about the cap, it's, you know, I always say it's not the holy grail of education funding. You know, you need to fund appropriate to the needs of the community. The other thing you have to know about the cap, if you look what's happened to the cap in the last 20 years, the cap has gone up 117%, whereas the Anchorage CPI in that same time period has gone up 62%. And I believe at the time, I don't have my note in front of me, but I believe the time period is 20 years on that. It could be a shorter compressed period. So the cap has really escalated far beyond the abilities of other than some very wealthy areas to reach that. And when you look at what some of these wealthy areas are doing, or if you look at Anchorage that funded, you know, to 97% of the cap last year, the way they did it is exactly the way we're looking at doing it this year. We're taking our in-kind contributions, which are valid expenditures that the borough incurs on part of the school district, and saying, give us credit for them. The people of this community are supporting our schools above and beyond the cash contribution that we give, over and above our mandatory local contribution. Mm-hmm. Give the people credit for what they're doing. Give them credit for their effort. And that's essentially what we're doing here. And there are benefits, as Mr. Harrington said, to doing that, and that it increases the percentage of Lake Federal Impact Aid that you get to retain in the district, that you get to keep a higher amount of some of these other share programs, essentially, with the state. You get to keep a larger amount of that when we do these types of things. So there is a benefit to the school district in doing that that's completely independent of the cap.
Correct.
Okay, and excuse me, also for this fiscal year, there was a request to increase spending authority. Is that basically taking, I guess, grants that are coming in and having the right to use them? Or what was that for?
Okay, the school district develops a budget. We send it to the Borough Assembly to authorize get the spending authority to spend it and to receive the local contributions over and above what they're mandated to provide. This gets real confusing in that we have a budget separate from the spending authority. So we can have a budget that says we could spend $150 million, but our spending authority is $39 million. So, partway through the year, we're going to have to ask for the permission to spend that the additional money. Believe me, those are not the right numbers, so anybody thinks I'm talking about that. Anyhow, we have not yet reached the limit on the spending authority that the Borough Assembly had formally given us. But there was a lot of confusion in that it looked like we had over $2 million in new funds that we were requesting permission to spend. And there was really some concern that was, why would we spend it all now? These were much different items than that. And part of the assembly had all of the information, and part of the assembly did not. And some of the school board didn't have all of the information. So it was an interesting process to put together the budget and the spending authority and sort of get through some of those problems.
Well, when you look at the school district budget, like any other budget, it's kind of a living document. And what happens is in June, when they set their number and they say, okay, these are the funds that we can be sure account for, and these are how we're going to utilize them, and they bring that to the assembly, and we have no control over how the funds are used, but by state law, we have to set, the assembly has to set a spending cap, so we do that. And then when you look what happens, okay, the legislature closes, they send their budget to the governor, and he has until August. So if the legislature has made any changes education funding, you may not realize it until August. So in this case, they did, and they got their bump up in August. And then come September, they received some more grant funding. They got confirmation on grant funding. And what we did on the assembly side, knowing in May that additional funds had come in, we asked, trying to avoid exactly what happened now, because when you have a changeover in assembly, you know, you have new information and new people, new information. We asked at that point, we asked in July, we asked in September, okay, go ahead and realize these increases now, because the next big event is going to be the ADM, which, you know, the funding for the school district, they don't know their final numbers per student count until November. And so what we had requested was, let's do the housekeeping now. Let's take these items. We'll bump it up one time now since we have a big backlog of them. And then in November, we'll do it again. And that was a little different than what the school district had done in the past. They were used to just going till, running until the end of the ADM count period and, you know, submitting all at once. Unfortunately, exactly what we were afraid of happened. New assembly members, new school board members, lots of confusion, lots of wailing and gnashing of teeth. But I think we got it figured out last night.
All right. Very good.
The spending authority is an interesting process. In my former life on the school board, we would get the spending authority in June, and we never would revisit it. We would exceed it every year by a sizable amount. But in that day and age, the assembly chose to ignore it, and nobody challenged the legality of what we were doing. Historically, lately, the process has been one or two times we would get an increase in the spending authority, but rarely would we do it in May, June, or July. Obviously, this year it would have been a whole lot better had we had the simple changes done very early on. For instance, when the board had expected to have a $9 million plus dollar amount coming from the borough to fund schools for the current year. What came was 8.6. At that point, the legislature had also granted a one-time money of $333,000. So when the board took a look at the budget, they mixed both the cut and the increase together to establish the budget for the current year initially, but did not send that to the borough assembly for a review and to bump up the extra $333,000. At the same time, the state had put a much larger portion of money into the retirement system, but required that these be noted in budgets. So we had $1.5 million, almost $1.5 million in those three items that the borough assembly had requested be taken into account last summer. The board, used to the old system, decided, no, we'll wait till we get it all together. And they have regretted that decision at this point. And I think we are moving toward a much cleaner process in the future.
I'd like to take a minute here and talk a bit about right now the boroughs. We haven't cast in stone the amount of money that we're going to give the district. The number that's being tossed out right there now is $8,650,000, which is the funding level for last year. But when you look at that, most people say we're funding them flat. But if you break that number down, last year the $8,650,000 included $1.1 million worth of Secure Rural Schools funding. That money has gone away, and the borough is making up those funds out of our general fund, out of property taxes, out of sales taxes. So the overall level appears to be flat, but the borough's portion of that has increased significantly. And that was one of the things we designed last year. When we went through this budget, we looked at how much we were deficit spending. We looked at how much we were going to take a hit when Secure Rural Schools went away, and we projected out 5 years knowing that we needed to maintain a $3 million reserve to maintain our bond rating. And at that stage, the number that fell out of that whole gyration was $8,650,000. And unless there's a significant change in our local economy, we can maintain that level of funding out through 2015 with no mill rate increase and accommodate a 2% per year cost of living increase. And we did that very specifically last year looking at sustainability. So it wasn't willy-nilly on the borough side that we didn't meet the school district's request for $9.4 million last year. It was a very long, hard, thought-out process. What can we do to be sustainable? Because the district doesn't want to see, you know, big, wide swings. If we hadn't done that, this year we'd be looking at funding them more in the $7.3 million range without draining our reserves. And so it was painful last year, but what we were hoping to do when we set that $8.65 million level was to have a sustainable level of funding to give the school district some sort of baseline going forward. Now, the borough hasn't settled on that amount this year, but that's the placeholder we have that we came up with during our budget discussions in January. And that was based upon the work that we did last year to try to kind of give a level slope to the school district funding and avoid these wide pitches and increases and decreases.
And we just have a few minutes left. Is there anything else that happened last night that you think folks should know about?
Well, we had quite a bit of discussion on the fields around the community here.
The sports fields?
The sports fields, and just basically the fields associated with the different grade schools. And the point there is that we're going to probably go out for either the education CIP, which is a capital improvement plan, and try to get one big project going that addresses most of the needs of these fields. And in doing that, we can leverage state dollars to local dollars 70-30. If it doesn't make the CIP plan, we may end up having to go out for a bond initiative for it if we get the right mix of projects in there. But I think that was the only other big item.
And what fields are we looking at, and what is the problem, I guess? Do they all need a little help?
Oh, they all need a lot of help. There's just about every field you can name. You know, there's resurfacing issues, there's drainage issues, there's fencing issues on some, there's lighting issues on other. A lot of the primary safety issues have been addressed just through maintenance, but you know, the weather here is hard on fields, and our fields are very heavily used, both by the district and by the community as a whole. And so we're looking at trying to do some catch-up and improvements on the fields and leveraging our money the best we can.
Okay. And last night's meeting, you said, was the second?
Yes.
And are there more meetings between the borough assembly and the school board planned?
Not planned.
Okay.
but that's always subject to change.
But also there are upcoming opportunities for people to check on the budget and comment, I believe, several meetings. Is that true? Some upcoming events?
Yes. We obviously can have people coming to every school board meeting talking about their priorities within the budget. We will be, week from Saturday, we will be at the Safeway store. The school board will have a booth there where we'll be sitting down talking to anyone who wants to come and talk to us about the budget. And just want to make sure everybody understands the rumors out there about what we're cutting. Are that just that? They're rumors. No decisions have been made. And actually the school board has not really done anything more than taken the information the administration has given us and has begun the process of examining it to establish our own priorities.
All right. Thank you very much for being here. John Harrington, Agnes Moran, they were both representing and at the last night's Assembly School Board special meeting. And again, more opportunities to chime in come up at future meetings. It is 5 minutes before 9:00.